Welcome to the DangerCast, the official Gangplank podcast where we talk about the design and culture of Gangplank. I'm Jade Meskill.
I'm Derek Neighbors.
And I'm Roy Vandewater.
So, this is our inaugural episode. Thanks for listening. We wanted to talk about the Gangplank Manifesto. We're not going to get into the history. That's documented in other places. But what we want to do is dissect the manifesto and really talk about some of the things that we mean, some of the nuanced details behind the points of the manifesto. If you're not familiar with the Gangplank Manifesto, you can check it out at gangplankmanifesto.com. So the first point of the Gangplank Manifesto, the first value that we list, is collaboration over competition. So, Derek, what does that mean to you?
I mean, I think it's important when we're looking at the manifesto that there's things on the left and there's things on the right. It doesn't mean that the things on the right are bad things. It just means that we prefer the things on the left. And so a little bit of the way we came to some of this is we talked about, you know, what is hurting, right, our communities, right? And those are kind of the things that were on the right or the things that kind of hurt our communities. And then we would say, what are the things that would neutralize that? And so competition was a big one. And, you know, I think what happens when there's competition is it breeds scarcity. It says that the only way to be successful is to put somebody else down, put somebody else's ideas down, or put them out of business. Where when you have a mental model that says that we operate in abundance, which means if I'm successful, you can be successful, I think that that's a much better model to operate in. And a good way to think about this, and I think that, you know, when we were dealing in an industry that was, say, the automobile industry or the industrial industry, right? And we were both trying to get steel. Steel is a scarce resource. There's only so much steel available. And so if I'm taking steel, that means there's less steel for you. But when we look at knowledge industries, when we look at creative industries, when we look at industries around creation, there is very rarely scarcity. Because what happens with ideas, if I have an idea and I share the idea with you, I don't lose that idea. I still have the idea, but you have it too. And so I think the concept here was collaboration is all about saying, how do we share ideas? How do we share the things that we're doing so that we have an abundance of those things and people can build on them? So if I do something really great and I share it with you and I allow you to do it, and then somebody takes what you're doing and builds on it, and we continue to build on that, we have something much more magnificent than if I was trying to put you out of business with my idea. And I think a lot of these values for me, or this value for me, came a lot from doing a lot with Free Software Foundation and looking at, you know, patent law, copyright law, a number of things that say the best innovation actually tends to come when you allow people to build on other people's works. And so I think that that was a lot of it. The other thing is it really became petty, right? Like, I mean, people would be just stupid on purpose because it was so fulfilling to go hurt a competitor, mm-hmm. right?
And then sometimes at your own expense.
Your own expense, right? I was going to say the problem is you start to become stupid because it's like, well, keeping Jade from getting the work is better. I don't even care if I get it, just as long as I keep him from getting it. It's like, what a waste right. of energy is that? Like that's, you know, I mean, to starve you out doesn't do me any good. If I go out and I just kick ass, right? Like, then I don't need to worry about that. And if you're kicking ass too, then awesome. And if we're both kicking ass, we're going to attract a whole bunch of other stuff. And so a lot of this at the time for us was talking around talent, was talking about funding. And if you look at it, look at the areas that attract the most talent. Look at the areas that have the most funding. It's because there's a lot of awesome stuff happening there. It's not because, oh, the one person is, you know, in charge, or the one company has the lion's share of what's going on.
It's like having a great restaurant that is surrounded by other great restaurants,
right?
That doesn't detract from you. That actually is an attractor for more people to experience the greatness of your restaurant. But we don't see that happen in real life, right? People get way more territorial than that. They have a hard time understanding that concept. I remember us having that problem a lot very early on in the Gangplank days, where I'm a web developer and you run a web development company, and you know, the customer becomes the imagined scarcity,
sure.
right?
But,
and so there were battles and wars and things happening inside of Gangplank because I was afraid you were going to come steal my customer set. And I remember having to constantly harp on people, say, no, there's plenty of customers for all. If we were all doing great work, we would all have an abundance of customers.
Well, I see this like in the power networking groups, and it's even evolved into a lot of co-working spaces I see, and a lot of mindsets of freelancers where I don't think it's okay. Like, I'm the PR guy. And I don't think that another PR guy right. should be able to have a desk in our
space.
We
need an exclusivity agreement.
Right. Like, if I'm going to be here, I need to be the only PR guy. Mm-hmm. Because, like, I don't want to have to be, you know, when I bring clients in, I don't want people to know who my clients are because they're just going to try to steal my clients. Like, that is a lot of the mentality that I think we were really fighting against. You know, fast forward to a point where we had multiple instances. We still have instances of companies merging together that were inside of Gangplank. We've had instances where employees have left one company inside of Gangplank, started a competing business that does almost the exact same thing in Gangplank next to the company that they left, and those companies collaborate on customers and ideals and
yeah.
help train each other.
We've helped people with that, right? We've given yeah. them examples of our contracts, of our former employees who... Right. you know, moved one desk over to start their own company.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was Mike Benner who said it really, really well is, you know, in Silicon Valley, they have the really awesome saying of, you know, I switched my job, but I didn't switch my parking lot. And Benner said, I switched my job and I didn't switch my desk. Like, yeah. Trump that, right?
I think there's something, too, about focusing on the wrong problems when you start worrying too much about competition. Because if you are really focusing on your customer and focusing on making their lives better, ultimately, it doesn't matter if you're the one who gets to help them or if it's the better alternative that's also available. I think that when you insist on doing great things, you start focusing on delighting people and not on making money, and that making money happens to be a side effect of that. It almost becomes irrelevant at that point because that's kind of like a given where if you do great things. So like I kind of feel like that's part of the problem as well, that you're just too focused on making money that you just try to compete with everybody all the time instead of trying to make the people that really matter happy.
So I think this is very easy to understand on the lowest level, right? That we can see that there's direct competition between businesses mm-hmm. and, you know, it shouldn't have to be that way. But I think this statement of collaboration over competition also exists at like a higher level, right? When we talk about multiple Gangplank locations or cities working together, governments, things like that, how do you see this value holding true at kind of that next level up?
I mean, I think it scales the same way. People just tend to not think of it that way, right? So I see, say you have cities and you've got one city next to another city and they're fighting for the next company that comes in and lands in their city, right? And in reality, what they really should be thinking of is the region, because in reality, more often than not, the person that works at the company that you're trying to attract may or may not live or go to school or have a wife that works or a husband that works or a spouse that works in the same city, right? So, you know, the more opportunity a region has, the more attractive it is to somebody. Right. And mm-hmm. so I think a lot of times we get very short-sighted in that as well. I think the other part that I think starts to be a little bit silly is we don't recognize, like, we all have our unique DNA, whether we're individuals, whether we're companies, or whether we're cities or corporations. And so when we play to our strengths of our DNA instead of worrying about what the competition is, I think we open up the ability to do really magnificent things, right? So when we can start to say, like, hey, if we work together on this, we can do something that is so much better than if we weren't doing something together. And I firmly believe that you will see this principle in play at some time in my lifetime, bar I live another 20 or so years, where you will see companies working, and when I say companies, big companies, working out of the same buildings or sharing the same resources and blending to the point where you don't know which employee belongs to what company and they're in the same space.
Hmm. So what would that mean for those companies?
I think it would mean that they would be able to advance things much quicker. Think of if I was doing an automobile assembly line, or I was doing an advanced chip manufacturing plant, right? Like the capital costs in doing those things are still fairly expensive, right? So if we were sharing that line or sharing that that resource of some kind, right? And it could be any resource; it doesn't have to necessarily be a physical piece like that. And I had access to really bright engineers and really bright folks. And some of them maybe worked for me, and some of them maybe worked for you, and then some of them maybe worked for both of us. Maybe they had a really specialized skill that we only needed for a small amount of time during chip production. Maybe it was only, you know, a few months of time, right? And so, you know, if I have them, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense because the best of their talent's not being used. And if you have them, the best of their talent's not being used. But if we're kind of sharing them back and forth, and that allows us to continue to riff and build on common things that are really commodities. And you see this time and time in marketplace. The things that are hot commodities and scarcity at some point become commodities, right? But then when you have those commodities, people build on them and launch stuff into the stratosphere. Like if we look at the free software world, a web server would be an example of this. Like at one time, you know, the Netscape web server is extremely expensive, you know, really hard to configure, all sorts of problems with it. But as Apache came in, as other things started to come in and were made commodities where they didn't really cost anything, they were really easy to do. Look at how it exploded entire new economies that didn't exist before. And I think that's what we're really talking about is if we can get to the point where we're going fast enough that stuff that is valuable today is a commodity 3 days later, like that means the innovation cycle is just fucking insane. Right? Whereas if stuff that is scarce today is scarce 20 years from now, it means our innovation cycle is really slow. Like, what does it cost? Like, can any of us go to the moon today? The answer is no, right? But if we got to the point where, you know, going to the moon, owning a spaceship and going to the moon costs the same thing as owning a car and putting gas in a car tank, think of what would happen, all of the new industry that would blow up out of having that capacity, right? So I think it's as much about capacity building in my mind is it is like once you break the scarcity model, you open up a capacity model. And once you have capacity model, like you're enabling things that humanity can't even think of right now.
So how does that kind of collaboration work? Like how do we envision people embracing collaboration at that level?
I don't know. You tell me.
We've been experimenting with some different things, right? In the leadership structure and just kind of the interactions of how Gangplank functions at a high level, right? We've struggled with authority and what's the word I'm looking for? Hierarchy, things like that. So one of the things that we found that is the most important for real collaboration is true alignment, right? And that requires a whole lot of things, including some level of intimacy. Trust, all of those things, right? If we're going to be two large corporations sharing this very precious resource, we better have a very deep and trusting relationship in order to make that be successful.
Yeah, I think for me, the big factor is right now companies are focused solely on bottom lines and they're focused on profits. And so in because of that, that becomes a scarcity model for them, right? Because, I want to dominate the market. I want the position. I want everything about that because that means more money for me, right? But what that means is less innovation for everybody else. So, and this is proven time and time again, where this is why we have monopoly law. Right? Like when right. There is somebody that has monopoly, innovation goes down significantly because there's no new ideas coming to the table. Any new ideas get squashed out. But I think if we get to a point, and I think we're starting to see it, if we look at the millennial generation and the generation coming after them, I think they're far less focused on what's the bottom line dollar. And they're far more concerned with making massive impacts to the universe. And I think when you get people that their goal is to make a dent in the universe. Now, clearly people have to be able to make paychecks. They have to be able to eat. They have to be able to, you know, they have to have their needs met. They have to be. But I think when people start to say what fulfills me is doing incredible stuff that nobody's ever seen before that moves the marker forward, then I think a lot of those difficult discussions about sharing resources go away. Because we're not worried about a bottom line, we're worried about getting further. And whether you get further or whether I get further, at the end of the day, we both win. If you get further, if you get it so that we can get on the moon for the price of the car, I win too, right? But if I do it, you win too. right? Mm-hmm. And because it's not about like how do I squeeze the bottom dollar out of doing that, right? And I think that's a mindset shift that is happening, you know, that I don't think Wall Street even wants to talk about. But look at the distrust that people have in the banking system, the funding system. Look at the number of people that are choosing to work independently or to you know, have no loyalty to a company. I think what they're saying is like my personal happiness and my personal fulfillment is more important to me than a really big paycheck. And I think some of the brightest people in the world are having that viewpoint. And it's only going to take one or two companies that have really bright people that operate that way and achieve extraordinary results before that becomes the de facto standard, because it goes back to the commodity problem, right? Like once they're able to do it and they make things a commodity, like how do you compete with them?
Yeah. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Join us next podcast when we talk about community over agendas. Thanks for listening.